You can open your Bibles to chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. And I titled this, Don't You Know? Do You Not Know? You know, we've seen Paul addressing the division in the church as they aligned themselves with different leaders. They were thinking that they were better than others, relying on worldly wisdom rather than godly wisdom. Paul addressed this by continually referring them back to Christ. We also saw with this worldly wisdom that they had compromised so much so even the heathen, the pagans, thought that the sin that they accepted and celebrated within the church was abhorrent. They allowed the relationship of a son and his father's wife to go unaddressed in the church. In fact, Paul said they were puffed up about it. So Paul again had to correct them and explain that as Christians, we are to judge and act upon sin in the church. He said this in verse 3 of chapter 5, For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. He talked about that little bit of leaven, leavening the whole loaf. Basically, sin affects the church. Thus, we are to watch out for our brothers in Christ. But in the world with the worldly non-believers, we should share Christ, not judge them, for God himself is their judge. He said this in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 5, For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. But now Paul brings up another issue within the church. And that was taking of a brother before the pagan courts. Airing our dirty laundry to others. To the outside world. Instead of showing them Christ, we're showing them our problems. Let's read through these verses. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and just give you thanks. We thank you for this day that you've given us, Father, this time that we can gather together, not only to worship you, Father, but to learn more about your word. And Father, to fellowship and encourage one another with everything that's going on now in this world. Father, we just spent a day celebrating your son, Jesus Christ, and his birth. And I would pray that we celebrate your son every day, that we stay focused on him during these times. Father, open our hearts to hear your word. Open our minds to accept it and apply it in our lives. Guide us and use us for your glory, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Here Paul's calling out the Corinthians again for their pride and arrogance, this time for suing members of the church in a secular civil court, a pagan civil court, over some disagreement. I don't think Paul is concerned that the people are getting unfair rulings in public courts, but rather that as Corinthians or Christians, we should be able to work things out in the church. Here, we are saints set apart by God, the holy ones of God. We have the truth, wisdom of God, love, kindness, long-suffering. And as Paul let us know in the last chapter, we are to judge believers when in sin. So Paul asking us, why are you not resolving issues in the church instead of the pagan courts? Lawsuits are nothing new. We see numerous lawsuits today. I looked up a few. Companies being sued by people. In 2021, a consumer filed a lawsuit against Kellogg's over the strawberry content in their frosted strawberry Pop-Tarts. The plaintiff claimed the product's packaging was misleading because it had more pears and apples in it than it did have strawberries for flavoring. Kids suing parents. 2023, a 17-year-old girl from California filed a lawsuit against her parents for naming her Bond, after that famous spy movie, James Bond. The teenager claimed her unusual name caused significant distress and social difficulties throughout her life. And you can't make this one up. This was in China. A man in China filed a lawsuit against his wife after she gave birth to what he deemed an ugly baby girl. The husband claimed his spouse had deceived him about her appearance prior to marriage. Apparently, she had some work done on her, cosmetic surgery, and he argued this. And when he saw the baby, it didn't match what his wife looked like, so he was upset. He won $120,000 in that case. The issue here, though, is that Paul is addressing Christians, bringing lawsuits against their brothers, and in most cases, they could easily be dealt with within the church. The Jews were allowed by the Romans to judge their own cases and put forth punishment. The only thing they could not do is condemn a person to death. That is why they had to take Jesus to the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. So we see here believers taking believers to court. The world, the worldly people, non-believers, seeing that those who proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior arguing with each other over what probably could easily have been addressed within the church, airing their dirty laundry. You think about it, maybe some improper work was done. You had somebody, you hired somebody, they did some work for you, and they didn't do it right. Maybe they built something on your property, you asked them to build a deck, a shed, whatever it may be, and they didn't do it to code or they did it incorrectly. So you got hurt feelings, pride, as maybe somebody thought they were given a gift. Oh, thank you. But the person who gave it to him wanted something in return. So now he's upset because he's not getting anything in return. Thus, maybe an accusation of theft. He stole from me. All things that could easily be worked out within the church with a communication. There's been many a times I've had people come over to my house and work. Lawn work, house work within the house. And what a beautiful thing it is, because they did a great work for me. And hopefully I compensated them well. They aren't here to argue the case right now, but hopefully I did. But had there been any issues, we would have worked it out. We would have worked it out within the church. Non-believers, looking at believers, arguing things in a court, wondering, why would I want to believe in their God? What does he have that we don't have? We have the court systems, and here they are arguing over nonsense. They already believe we're fools for believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe they're fools for not believing in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So why would we take something out and argue it in front of them in a court of law? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians about being deceived in the last days, said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. He said, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So Paul obviously had mentioned this. Do you not know? We all as Christians need to be reminded of these things. So we see here Paul's first of several, do you not know, questions. Believers or saints will at the end times serve as judges of those who are in the world. Now remember, the word judge in the Greek is as defined in Strong's could also mean to rule, to govern, to provide over with the power of giving a judicial decision. So there's more than potential one meaning, is like just judging somebody. We see Matthew that those who follow Jesus will participate in the final judgment, standing with Christ as he executes justice upon the world. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, he says, so Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We see in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. We also see when he talks to the church of Thyatira, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, and he says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So we may not fully understand how this will work, but we certainly get Paul's point that the Christians, the Corinthian Christians, are living and acting as if they are incompetent to judge the smallest issues within the church. They don't understand the power they have in Christ. If they truly understood that in Christ they would rule and be judges of the world, would they be taking each other to a pagan court to be judged by that world? Recall what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Paul saying, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? And you think about it, if Christ will give authority to the saints over others in the millennium, shouldn't they be able right now to demonstrate the ability to serve as judges over small issues between themselves, between ourselves? So instead of living as if they are citizens in the culture of the world, they need, just like we need, to live up to who we are in Christ, recognizing that they will reign with Christ forever. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Paul now adds to our responsibilities as he states that we shall judge angels also. The Bible is not entirely clear about this, and Paul certainly does not explain it. We see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, he delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Jude chapter 1, verse 6 talks about this also, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So here I would assume God is taking care of judging these angels. Whatever the case, those who are in Christ will share his authority and participate in his judgment somehow. It may be to bear witness to the times when we were, or other people were, manipulated by devils, demons. To lie, to spread false ideas, or to hurt somebody. We know who the father of lies is. And we know that he has angels that work for him. So the bottom line is, we should be able to settle minor disputes among ourselves in this present time. If a Christian does work for us and the work is messed up, we should be able to come to a fair decision. And in some cases, forgive the person and hire maybe somebody else who can complete the job. If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I looked at the NLT version of this, and it says, if you have legal disputes about such matters, why go to outside judges who are not respected by the church? And the NIV reads, therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, do you ask for a ruling from those whose way of life is scorned in the church? So instead of taking trivial matters to those who are not in Christ, such disputes need to be settled in-house among fellow Christians. Paul is not saying a Christian cannot take a serious matter to a worldly court, but in most cases, the church should be sought out first to resolve these matters. Recall, Paul asked for his case to be tried by Caesar and did not want to be sent back to the Sanhedrin for trial. Paul did say, or right here, to judge the smallest matters. So some commentators look at this as most items should be resolved in-house, so to speak, but there's the smaller matters, issues that can easily be resolved. But he goes on, and he says, I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? Paul being pretty clear here that the Corinthians should be ashamed about this. Possibly a little sarcasm, as there seems to be no one in the church that is wise enough to settle a small matter or a trivial dispute between brothers. Nobody is respected enough to be able to do that within the church. So we see Paul's expectation for those in Christ is to resolve those conflicts as people who are in Christ. And others within the church should be there to help. There should be good counsel. We should know the Bible and be able to help those people who are having conflicts with others in the church. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. And you think about that, brothers in Christ going before a pagan judge in Corinth, instead of humbling themselves to the church leadership and voluntarily submitting to a decision made by the leadership. This, of course, would require believers to take responsibilities for their action and helping to resolve the issue biblically. So here you are in the front of non-believers in a court assembly with numerous people watching. Recall Paul when he went before King Agrippa and Festus. He had an auditorium full of commanders and prominent men of the city. You can read that in Acts chapter 25. And here we would have Christians arguing and fighting over the issues with each other, showing the unbeliever exactly why he does not want to believe in Christ. The point